Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is out of hand in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Sponsored by Max Muscle Sports Nutrition. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, welcome back everybody to our Giants Insider Podcast, presented as always by Max Muscle. And this one is a little bit different. We're taping at Finnerty's on Monday night. As we're getting ready, I'm here with Sean Estes, who I have not had on before because I was saving for the postseason. That's what we're going with.
Yeah, we were waiting until we were in a bar to do it.
Yeah, it's a good time. Sean, I'm going to start with an easy one. You watch a lot of – this is actually a hard one. You watch a lot of Giants baseball. I know you know guys in there. What happened in the second half? What happened to this team?
I actually watched too much Giants baseball in the second half for my liking. To be honest with you, because I don't think anybody could see it coming based on how well they played in the first half. Now, I felt that they weren't as good as they played in the first half due to the fact that they had some injuries and they were still being able to piece it together and go out and win games. But they found a way to win. It felt like every night they took the field, they had a lot of confidence that team was going to win. Regardless if they had a Romero Pena in there or a Grant Green in there, you know, all the guys that came in and filled for the other guys that were hurt. And they end up going to the All-Star break with the best record in baseball, and you're thinking, okay, that's an even year, of course. You know, they don't have to be full strength. They'll figure it out. And then all of a sudden they came out of the break, and they get swept in San Diego, and then you're like, what just happened? Like, that wasn't the same team that we saw going in the first half. They seemed flat. Pitching didn't seem like that they were, you know, Cueto, you know, had a little injury, you know, coming out of the All-Star break. You know, Bum didn't look like the same Bum that we've seen. Samardzija started to really struggle. And then you're like, uh-oh. Because, you know, I know as a pitcher that this team's going to win or lose based on their starting pitching, period. That they need that, and that's why they went out and signed Samardzija and Cueto to the big contract. They made the trade with Moore. The team still struggled, and I thought that was a nice trade. They needed some depth in the rotation, but that wasn't the answer. Pence got healthy. They still struggled. That wasn't the answer because we talked about, you know, Pence, you know, the energy he brings to the team. Maybe that's what they're missing. No one ever really gave the team a shot in the arm that we thought that they needed, and they thought they were going to make the difference. And they just were finding new ways to lose. And then you see the back end of the bullpen, the ninth inning just became, you know, a black cloud over the ninth inning for a long time. And so now you have your bullpen struggles, which that was the strength of this team when they won the three World Series. That back end of the bullpen was locked down. So now you have all these things that are going wrong, and they're all happening at the same time. There was never really one strength of this team, with the exception of they played great defense night in and night out. But you kind of kept feeling that as soon as they won a game or two in a row that they were going to just take off again. And that didn't happen. They'd win a game, they'd blow a team out, and then the offense would go, you know, would get shut out 2 games in a row. So I don't think there's one thing you can put your finger on why this club played so poorly in the second half and why they couldn't win games. And I know Bruce Bochy, he was at a loss for words at some point. I know that everybody was really frustrated. I know that everybody in that clubhouse still believed that they could do it, though. There was never any finger pointing. There was never anybody getting down on, or you never heard anybody talk in the media about, yeah, they're struggling. They always made excuses for each other, which I think is the indication of a strong clubhouse. The guys really believed in each other, that they figured that they were going to right the ship at some point. Fortunately for the Giants, they got off to such a good start, you know, being the best record in baseball, that they had some room to play with, a lot of room to play with. And they didn't really even back into the playoffs because they started playing their best baseball the last week of the season. And so I guess really that's what you have to focus on, is the fact that they kept themselves in it. I think Romo, you know, helped ease a little bit of the nervousness that people had the ninth inning when Boach just said, okay, you're going to be our guy, and he closed four games in the last 2 weeks of the season. So you had some sort of stability down there because Casillo was really starting to fall off the tracks, to say the least. So, but to be able to put my finger on one thing that happened in the second half, I can't, and I don't know why they played, but I also can't put my finger on what they did so well in the first half and how they were able to play so well in the first half. I think what we're getting right now is what this team has been the whole time. It's been a wild card team that has a chance now to go and win a one-game playoff.
You mentioned the bullpen. We ask guys this all the time. After a starting pitcher goes out there, he pitches seven innings, leaves with the lead, and an hour later we're in his face asking, how do you deal with a blown save? And guys are never going to throw a teammate under the bus. But as a starting pitcher, what does that do to your psyche, or what does it do to a clubhouse when you do have a run like they did? And especially in early September, I think they blew seven of 15 or something. There was that stretch on that road trip, and when Casillo lost his job. What does that do to a starting pitcher and to a clubhouse when the bullpen can't find a way to get the final three outs?
Well, speaking from experience as a starting pitcher, and it's happened to me more than once. I mean, obviously in my career, you know, I've left games with leads and they've been blown. But typically it's more of a fluke. And so even if it's not a fluke, you're never going to throw a teammate under the bus.
Yeah.
I think they've already had enough pressure, and the microscope is on them at that point, the guy that blew the save. You know, they're not focused on anything other than that. And so I think there's enough focus on them that I don't want to make that guy feel any worse than he already does. So I would never, and he's not going out there trying to blow the game. That's the thing you got to realize is, I know as a fan, you're like, what's going on? Get him out of there. Well, no, I mean, typically the guys that are going to be in those spots are going to be in those spots because they've succeeded there more times than not. And so they're going to get a benefit of the doubt, even if they struggle a little bit. So you never look at it as something that's going to happen consistently. But I do remember in 2002 when I was with the Mets that the team really struggled scoring runs when I pitched. Every time I did have a good game and I left with the lead, somehow the bullpen blew it. And I'll tell you, it does really affect your mind. It affects when you go out and pitch that you almost feel you have to be better than you can be. You almost feel like you have to go out and throw a shutout. And especially if you have poor defense behind you as well, that you have to strike guys out at times. Mm-hmm. Defense isn't going to catch the ball. That's never, and that doesn't happen right away. It takes time for that to evolve. Consistent bad play. Well, that's what was happening. You know, so as a starting pitcher, you really, really have to continue to focus on what your job is. And your job is to go out there and keep your team in the game, period. And I think the quality start is a little bit overrated, because I think that 6-3 is still a 4.5 ERA, which I don't think you're quite doing your job at that point. So I like a 6-2 or a 7-3 is a better way of looking at a quality start, in my opinion. So that's what you try to go do. And if you focus on that, and you leave the game saying, I did the best I could do and I did my job, then everything else will take care of itself. But if you start to really go out there and press and try to do more than you're capable of doing, that's when you can start to, that's when things can start to snowball on you, and that's not good, because then you start to struggle more as a starting pitcher. As a team going through that, I think that's still, per individual, has to be your focus. Is you go out there and do everything you can that day to help your team win. Personally, you can't worry about what's going to happen, right? You have to focus on the task at hand. When that moment comes up, and then all of a sudden the focus is on, like we saw in the ninth inning so much, you kind of get to a point where you kind of hope you win.
Mm-hmm.
You really want your teammate to do well. Obviously, you want the team to win, but you almost are your mindset's different when that inning is a never a guarantee, but when it's a little bit more of a, you're more confident about the ninth inning. or late or blowing leads late. You start to almost say, expect that, and that's never a good mindset to get in. The way you overcome that is really it comes down to the guy that pitches the ninth inning.
Yeah.
It's about him turning things around or finding the right guy for that inning, because there's nothing a position player or starting pitcher can do other than maybe give him a little pep talk to help him through that, other than be positive.
And you mentioned that guy, Sergio, figured it out, or you know, he had his ups and downs, but they put him in that spot at the end, and he gets the final out of the regular season, and it seems like they're settled there. All of a sudden, you see the lineup start to do what we're used to. You see the starting pitching. How much do you think they're going to be able to ride those final four games, and especially the three against the Dodgers, into Wednesday night and into October? It seemed like in the clubhouse afterwards, guys were willing to just shrug off everything that happened the last 3 months and say, look, this is the team we are. Can it be that simple in a clubhouse when everything's going wrong for 2 months to have four good days and that turns it around?
Absolutely. I mean, we saw it in 2012, you know, all the elimination games that they fought off. What is seven of them? Seven elimination games. And so, you know, after two or three, you start to believe that's going to happen every night. It's all it is about a mindset that you go onto the field with that night. Due to the fact that they, like I said, didn't back into the playoffs by someone else losing, they were able to, you know, force their own destiny, and they won. And they not just won, but they swept the Dodgers, who is the team that won the division, pretty convincingly, and they beat their three best pitchers. And so that is, does wonders for your team's confidence. Where I'm a little skeptical is the fact that there's two, almost 3 days off between that and what we're going to see on Wednesday night. Now, I guarantee you, to a man in that clubhouse, they would love to have played tonight,
yeah.
Monday night.
They were fired up yesterday.
Right? They want to play tonight and get this game, because you're playing good baseball. You can't wait to get to the ballpark that next day because you believe that you're going to continue to win. Now, think about a schedule of a big league season where every once in a while you'll get an off day, but it's one day. It's never two until you get to the All-Star break, and it's four. And we saw how this team did outside of after the All-Star break. They came out flat because you almost – it's a letdown when you're playing well, and then you don't play for a while. And you've got to – it's really hard to stay locked in. So we're looking at 3 days. I just really hope that this team does, and I know it's a one-game thing, and you talk about how can you come out flat. It's not really flat, like your energy's flat. It's just almost, it looks flat because you're not doing it, you're not getting hits, you're not scoring runs, right? So I think that a way that could carry over is by your starting pitcher going out there and throwing up zeros, because he's the one guy that's staying on schedule, you know, Baumgartner. You know, he's the one guy that's going to be able to, as a starting pitcher, you're used to that routine.
Yeah, he was locked into this start no matter what.
So I think a lot of it rides on him. And because of that, I feel a lot more confident in this club's team winning because of not just who he is, but the fact that he's been here before numerous times. Not this one time, but you can look at this as the same situation as Game 7 of a World Series, and he's been there. And experience goes a long way in this situation. So I don't necessarily count on the offense continuing to play well. I expect the defense to be good, and I expect Baumgartner to be good. And I think that's all you need.
He was in a different situation 2 years ago because he did not have to go up against the ace. And I think Madison was winning that game no matter what, but certainly helped that Garrett Cole was burned over the weekend. And this time you have Noah Syndergaard, who was throwing 101 last year in the postseason, 95-mile-per-hour slider. How do you even start against a guy like that? I mean, what's the approach? Do you think they're going to try to get him out of the game early, or try to work the count, or jump on him, be aggressive? They've seen him different ways. They saw the best of him in August. They've also had some success against him.
Right, and I think you look at how you had success, and the guys that have had success against him individually, those are the guys you lean on and you talk to. Like, what do you see? What are you looking for? Does he have tendencies? A guy like Syndergaard, obviously last year, you know, coming in that situation, he's got a little bone chip he's dealing with, so his velocity still pretty good.
Yeah.
But he's not letting it go like he did last year, and he was absolute dominant. With that being said, he still had a 3-something ERA in the playoffs, I believe. He still was giving up some runs.
Yeah.
So he's not a robot, right? He's still a guy that you can go score runs off of. I think what's huge, I think the biggest thing would be getting runners on base against him. And the Giants have done a pretty good job all year of getting runners on, not necessarily scoring those runners, but getting him on. I think a guy like him, you get some runners on, you can steal bases.
Because, he doesn't hold runners right, at all.
He doesn't hold them.
Yeah.
So if you can get enough guys to get in a scoring position, it increases your chances of scoring. They go way up. Now, can he strike the side out? Yes. But I think you do your best to grind out at bats. Grind out, I mean, work counts, foul pitches off, foul good pitchers pitches off. But that's also doing the homework before you go in there and knowing what he features and knowing what he may throw you in a 1-2 count. Does he try to get you to chase down away on a slider? Probably. Does he elevate you with two strikes? So you got to lay off those pitches so you can try to get back into hitters' counts. I mean, there's a lot of the smaller things that go into facing a guy like that when maybe a run or two may be the difference. So, but I think the running game would be big, is just really putting the pressure on him. When you get runners on base, putting the pressure on him and making him think about you as a runner, and that may take your focus off. That may take his focus off enough to the hitter that he may walk him or make a mistake that you can do some damage with.
I'll finish on this. You played in New York in 2002. I think you played in Chicago
in 03.
03. So you could potentially go back to both cities on this trip. What do you think it means here, and what do you think it means in Chicago? Obviously something different in Chicago, but you've dealt with both fan bases. The Mets haven't had success recently either, aside from last year. So what do you think this postseason means to those two, as opposed to maybe in San Francisco, where they've had 3 parades in the last 5 years?
Yeah, well, geez, New York is a different animal altogether, just the fans, the fan base, and the passion that they have for their team. When they don't win, it's very negative. And when they win, it's over the top positive. So there's huge extremes. And as a player, they tell you to avoid those extremes because you talk about the even keel. And through the course of the season, you'll burn yourself out with those emotions. And the fans burn themselves out here. They really do. They're exhausted at the end of the year, win or lose. And then the offseason becomes, if it's negative, becomes, you know, the team becomes a dartboard for fans and the media. So it means a lot to win here, because you know that, like, it's euphoric when you win in New York, and the energy here is so alive, and that's why you want to win here. Now, when you're in Chicago, it's a different kind of win, and it's a different fan base. Knowledgeable, passionate, but not as critical and hard, you know, like the lovable losers that they've been called forever. They still, when they're not playing well, you're still seeing a packed house because they got a great ballpark, a great product, a great team. No, it's a great venue to watch a game. And now they got the team to go with it. And in 03, we had the team to go with it. We almost went there. I got to just taste a little bit what it would be like to get to a World Series with the Cubs. And they are so hungry for a championship. But there's that side of them that feels like that they're cursed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. It seems like they always have that side where they feel like something's going
to
go wrong.
Yeah, well, like I talked about, when you start to get over consistent, and this is just within a season, not take 100 years into account, but you have a season where things kind of happen as the season goes on, and then you start expecting to lose almost rather than expecting to win, or you actually wait for something wrong to go happen wrong within that game to where you're like, oh, here we go again. Those fans are waiting for that in the playoffs when they get there. They wait for that. It's just because it's just been ingrained in their brain over time. And I'll never forget Game 6, 2003 and LCS against the Marlins. You know, we were up 3-1. The Marlins beat us in Game 5. We came back home to Chicago, and I remember saying to Jim Henry, the general manager at the time, as we're getting on the bus, I said, well, at least we get the win at home. And he said, I would have liked to win tonight. of one tonight. And so it'll be fun in front of our fans. We had Pryor and Wood going, were the two best pitchers in the postseason that year, saying there's no way we lose both these games. So we lose game six, you know, the whole Bartman incident,
yeah.
Which that, to me, that was less part of that game than Alex Gonzalez making an error, which
yeah.
he didn't do all season long. So that was what the thing. You could have looked at a couple different things, like, here we go again. Either Bartman or Alex Gonzalez making an error on a double play that would probably won us the game. But we had game seven still to play, and I did a radio show because I wasn't on the postseason roster that year or for that series. And so I was doing an early morning radio show on the big radio network. I can't remember the name. It covers the Cubs. Covers all Chicago sports, but the Cubs, I was doing it in the mornings after the games, and very positive because we were winning a lot. But that day in particular, I went on in the morning, and the tone of the hosts of the show and the people that called in, I couldn't believe it. How negative. No one gave us a chance. These are the fans. This is the host of the show. Like, you don't know. You don't know what we've seen. You don't know what we've been through. This is your first year here. We're done. Like, they thought they were done. And Kerry Wood, who had pitched better than anybody in the postseason that year, was dominant, as good as I've ever seen him pitch, was on the mound that night. And I was like, what are you talking about? We're going to win. We have Kerry Wood going. Like, no. Last night was our chance. And sure enough, you know, Wood hits a home run, the place goes bananas, but you could just see it wasn't the same energy. They were waiting for something to go wrong that night, and it did.
Whoa.
So we got to see.
We might see that. We'll see New York first. Thank you again to Finerty's for having us. Sean will be with me and the rest of our crew however long we go. Maybe we'll tape two podcasts after not doing one all regular season.
Yeah.
We'll get some postseason ones. Thanks, Sean.
All right, Alex, anytime.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.